I want tonight to speak upon a very simple but a very blessed subject, and that is God's thoughts toward his own people. You see that this is the subject mentioned in verse 5 of Psalm 40, where the psalmist says, "Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." Perhaps the thought comes to your mind betimes, "I wonder what God thinks of me." And that thought comes to my own heart from time to time. I wonder what the Lord really thinks of me. Well, if we look at the scriptures, we have the very clear answer to that question. What does God think of us? If we are his people, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood, trusting in the finished work of his blessed Son for our eternal salvation, then we are very clearly assured of what God's thoughts are toward his people. Because the scriptures, not only Psalm 40, but in many other places, have much to say about this very thing. Things that I believe tonight will be and should be an encouragement for us as the people of God to meditate upon. Especially would that be true when we come to the place of prayer. Because when you come to the place of prayer, if you're like me, and I know you are, the devil likes to get down beside you. He likes to whisper his insinuations into your ear and tell you that you have no right to pray. Why would you pray? Why would God hear your prayers? And the same thought that comes to you in private will come to you also in the public place of prayer. And that would be the very thing, perhaps, that would keep your mouth closed in the public prayer meeting. The Lord doesn't hear my prayers. My prayers are pathetic. Or I have no guarantee or no thought that the Lord would ever hear my supplications. And the devil will feed upon that and cause you to be discouraged. Let's think about this tonight. We are in his mind. We are in his mind. Listen to these words again. "And thy thoughts, which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee." What are God's thoughts toward you as his child? What are God's thoughts toward us as the people of God? Well, I have a number of things to say about that. First of all, the thoughts of God toward his people are personal. Go down further in this psalm, Psalm 40, to verse 17. And notice the personal pronoun here that begins the verse and goes all the way through the verse. "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God." And there you have this personal aspect to the thoughts of the Lord, especially in those words, "Yet the Lord thinketh upon me." It is true that the Lord has all his people in his mind. It is true that every child of God is thought of by the Lord. But we are in the mind of God not as just part of a mass or a lump of believers, but as an individual, as one whom the Lord loves personally and individually. We're all familiar, I'm sure, with those words of the apostle in Galatians 2 and verse 20, where he ends the verse by saying, "I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." This is the same man, the Apostle Paul, who wrote in the book of Romans, "Christ died for us." But here he brings it down to the personal level, "who loved me and gave himself for me." When the Lord Jesus was upon the cross, he had me as an individual believer, as an individual member of his church, as one of his elect, he had me personally upon his heart. It has been said, and rightly, if I had been the only sinner who had ever lived, Jesus would have died for me. And when that gets into your heart and mind, it surely must encourage you. And if it is true that the Lord thinks upon me personally and did think upon me personally at the cross, then surely is it not right to think that he is interested in my situation? He's interested, for instance, in my ministry, such as it is. He's interested in my family, in all that concerns me. And so it is true of you if you're a child of God. He will regard your tears. He will hear your prayers. You are important to him. We see in Scripture a lot about Christ in his earthly ministry, in the Gospels particularly, where he is dealing with individuals. That is particularly true, and especially true of John's Gospel. I've been doing some studies recently in the Gospel of John, doing some overviews of the book, if you like, with our congregation. And it is remarkable to note the personal encounters that the Lord had with sinners in that book. From chapter 1, where the Lord is dealing with the two disciples who started following him, who were actually followers of John the Baptist, to Andrew, and he was one of those, of course, and then Simon Peter, who was his brother and was brought to Jesus, and then you have Philip, and you have Nathaniel, and you come on down into chapter 3, and there's Nicodemus. And in chapter 4, there's the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well. And so it is all the way through this book. The blind man, even Martha and Mary, the Lord is dealing with individuals. We remember that that is something that's not only true of John's Gospel, but of our Lord throughout the Scriptures. The Bible here talks about, in Psalm 40, the Lord thinking upon us personally. The Lord thinketh upon me. Doesn't that remind us of some of those scriptures where the individual is picked out? God remembered Noah. And God remembered Abraham. God remembered Rachel. In 1 Samuel, God remembered Hannah. In the New Testament, the Lord Jesus said of Peter and to Peter, I have prayed for thee. The Lord's thoughts toward his people are personal. So let that grip your soul tonight. The Lord is interested in me, even me. We sing the chorus, don't we? I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me, even little old me. The personal thoughts of the Lord is an encouragement. But then you'll notice as well in Scripture that God's thoughts toward his people are plenteous. Psalm 40 speaks of this in verse 5, how that the thoughts of the Lord toward his own cannot be numbered. And that is further spoken of in Psalm 139, if you would care to turn to it, in the 139th Psalm, in verse 17. The psalmist rejoices. He says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Sometime going up there to Port Rush or Port Stewart, and don't even take a bucket, just take a thimble. A thimble. And fill that thimble with sand. And then sit down there in the sun, if you can find it someday, and start counting those grains of sand. You say, you're a head case, I could never do that, and neither could you. Well, you're absolutely right. Isn't it interesting that the psalmist uses that analogy, speaking about numbering of the grains of the sand? He says that God's thoughts, if he should count them, they're more in number than the sand. That means they are thoughts that are multitudinous, that are innumerable. How many, how plenteous are God's thoughts toward us? Now, if I turn this around and think about this in relation to ourselves and the Lord, let's go the other way. I wonder how much we think of Him. Do I have a multitude of thoughts about God each day? How much do I think upon Him? In light of the fact that He thinks so much of me. The Lord never forgets us. There in Jeremiah chapter 2, the man of God spoke of this very thing. He talked about the great neglect in thinking upon God that was prevalent among the Lord's people. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 32. Listen to this. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Oh, how much pride the bride takes in her dress. We've been married, me and my wife, for almost 25 years. I know that hardly seems possible. You say you must have been married when you were about 12. Well, anyway, that's not quite true. My wife still has her wedding dress stored away somewhere. Once in a while she gets it out. She can't get into it now, but don't tell her I said that. But anyway, she has allowed our girls, well, when they were little, to try it on. And they used to love prancing around the house in this wedding dress. But my wife wouldn't let them damage the thing because she cares a lot for it, even though it's been many years since the day that she wore it. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Listen to this. Yet my people have forgotten me. Days without number. Are there not days when you and I as Christians have forgotten the Lord? We've failed to read His word. We haven't called upon Him in prayer. But you go back in this same chapter, Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 2. He says, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee. The kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness in a land that was not sown. I remember the wedding day, as it were. The love of thine espousals, I remember thee. No matter how much you and I would forget the Lord, even to the extent of backsliding grossly against Him, He never ever fails to think of us. As we sang in that hymn, or at least some of us did, thou thinkest, Lord, of me. Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. What need I fear, since thou art near, and thinkest, Lord, of me? His thoughts are personal. They're plenteous, but let's move quickly. They are pitiful. Again, Psalm 40 in verse 17. I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. I am poor and needy. And who among us tonight cannot say that, even as the children of God? I'm poor and I'm needy. But even in our trials and troubles, the Lord's thoughts are with us. He thinks upon us in our time of need. And again, if I refer to that little hymn that we sang, one verse says, the cares of life come thronging fast. Upon my soul their shadows cast, their gloom reminds my heart at last, thou thinkest, Lord, of me. He thinks upon us in our time of need. The great promise of Hebrews 4:16 is, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And Psalm 103 is a portion that comes to mind in this regard. How the scripture tells us there about the Lord's goodness and the Lord's mercy unto us. That like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. The Lord remembers us. The Lord's mind is upon us. His thoughts are with us. Even in the worst of times, the thoughts of God are personal, they're plenteous, they're pitiful. But let's go on a bit further and realize that the thoughts of God for his people are patient. They're patient thoughts. You know, I get frustrated sometimes. I know you'd never know that to look at me, but I do. I get frustrated. And things bother me, and things annoy me, and things get under my skin. And I'm sure there's others in this room who are exactly the same as that. But that never happens to the Lord. God never gets frustrated. The Lord never becomes impatient with his people. He bears long with them. He's long-suffering with his people. And while we're thinking of Psalm 103, we are reminded of those great words of verses 13 and 14 again. Like as a father pitieth his children. Oh, how many times our children frustrate us in the things that they do. And yet we love them. We love them. And the Lord, as a great heavenly Father, pities us and is long-suffering toward us. His thoughts toward us are patient. He knows what we're like. He bears with us even in our folly, even though he knows what we're like. His thoughts are patient. And then his thoughts are precious. Look at Psalm 139 again. We've already considered this particular portion, but let's look at it again. Psalm 139 and verse 17 again. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. All the Lord's thoughts toward his people are gracious thoughts. They're thoughts of love. They're thoughts of kindness. Are there not times when you and I, even especially in times of trial, have hard thoughts toward the Lord? And we think the Lord is giving us a raw deal. And we think the Lord is not being fair with us. And if we don't articulate it, we think it in our hearts. Lord, it's not fair. It's not fair. Why should this happen to me? Why should that happen to me? Hard thoughts. But you know, the Lord never has a hard thought toward you as a believer. He cares for his own. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 puts it like this. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. As a mother looks adoringly at her little baby, and we've all seen that. Maybe a little newborn, someone's firstborn perhaps, and the mother looks so adoringly at that little one, can hardly believe that it belongs to her. So in an infinitely greater way, God looks upon his own children. And as you would look at a little baby and you would think, I would never do that little one any harm. So God looks toward us, never to do us harm. His thought is always to do us good. Always. You know the thoughts, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. You know, it's interesting to notice in the book of Deuteronomy, for an example, the number of times where the Lord's thoughts toward his people and his intentions toward his people are only good. For instance, let me just give you a quick smattering of verses. Deuteronomy 6 and 24. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always. Think of that phrase. For our good always. And that is repeated in a number of places. Deuteronomy 10, for instance, verse 13. To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day, for thy good. Everything that the Lord does for his people and toward his people is for their good. Deuteronomy 8, verse 16. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. Oh, it is the Lord's intention. It is the Lord's thought toward us to do us good. His thoughts are precious. But I think then, in the sixth place, his thoughts toward his people are propitious. Or you could say they're pardoning thoughts. They're not condemning thoughts. the pardoning thoughts. Isaiah 55, words that I'm sure many believers have rejoiced in many a time. Isaiah 55, from verse 7, listen to this. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And there's quite a bit about our thoughts, about the ungodly person's thoughts in this portion. Let the wicked forsake his way, let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Listen, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And God's thoughts toward his people are not condemning thoughts. They're pardoning thoughts. They're propitious. Our thinking is not as exalted as his. There is no condemnation for believers because of God's propitious thoughts toward us. Now, why does God have pardoning thoughts toward his people? Is it not simply because of Christ? God cannot think of you, and God cannot think of me as his elect child without thinking of Christ. He cannot think of us apart from Christ. Why? Because he is the head. We are the members of the body. And there's a verse that comes to mind here in this regard, which is very important. It's Psalm 111 and verse 5. And again, it's speaking of the Lord's mind and of the Lord's thoughts, if you like. Psalm 111 verse 5, he hath given meat unto them that fear him. But this is what I want you to grasp. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. And really those words actually mean his mind will always be full of his covenant. His mind will always be full of his covenant. What is that covenant? It is the covenant of grace and mercy that he has made with us in Christ. It's sure. It's steadfast. He cannot forsake you as his child. His thoughts toward you must be gracious thoughts. For he has redeemed us by the blood of his dear Son. Choosing us in Christ, he has purchased us by Christ. And he has brought us to Christ. By his Spirit, he will bring us to glory. He will never think of his people without thinking of them in relation to Christ. Washed, redeemed, pardoned, saved for all eternity. There in John 17, verse 20, the great high priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus. In that prayer he says, neither pray I for these alone, and he's referring to that company of elect ones who were with him, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Right there, as our Lord prayed, and this of course is a foreshadowing of his present ministry and intercession in heaven, he is thinking of each one of his own people. His thoughts toward us are propitious. And really that brings us to the final thought. God's thoughts are not only personal and plenteous and pitiful and patient and precious and propitious. His thoughts toward his people are perpetual. Look with me at Psalm 115. Psalm 115 and verse 12. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. The Lord has thought of us. He still thinks of us. And he will always think of us for good. We may think of that scripture, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him. What is this son of man that God would even take him under his notice or have him in his mind? And the reality is we will never be out of God's thoughts. If you consider the words there in Isaiah 49, but Zion said, verse 14, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. You might think that that's impossible for a believer ever to get to that point where they would say such a thing, but notice it is Zion who says this. These are words of the people of God. The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. And here's God's answer. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? And unnatural and all as that is, yet betimes it happens. And the Lord acknowledges that. He says, yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Yet will I not forget thee. In other words, you'll never be out of my thoughts. You'll never be out of my mind. He has thought of us. He does think of us. He will always think upon us for good. That scripture, by the way, I just referred to a minute or two ago, Psalm 115, verse 12. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. I read a little devotional by Spurgeon on this. It was a great blessing to my soul. Here's what he said. He has been mindful of us, never overlooking our mean affairs. His mind has been full of us. That is the other form of the word mindful. This has been the case all along and without a single break. And the next sentence is a logical inference from the former one. Since God is unchangeable, he will continue to be mindful of us in the future as he has been in the past. And his mindfulness is tantamount to blessing us. But we have here not only the conclusion of reason, but the declaration of inspiration. We have it on the Holy Ghost's authority. He will bless us. The Lord hath been mindful of us. His mind has been full of us. And therefore he will continue to bless us. His thoughts toward us are perpetual. As we think upon the Lord, and I trust that our minds will be full of him, let us always remember how he thinks of us. What an encouragement. In all circumstances and in every situation, the Lord thinketh upon me. Amid the trials which I meet, amid the thorns that pierce my feet, one thought remains supremely sweet. Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. Let shadows come. Let shadows go. Let life be bright or dark with woe. I am content. For this I know. Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. What need I fear, since thou art near, and thinkest, Lord, of me. May the Lord cause us to think much upon how much he thinks of us. Amen.